Welcome aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Broadcast day of insolence on its way. We have the President of the United States about to take to the microphone in New York City, where he is leaving the UN meeting, going over to the Intercontinental Hotel right there. And he's going to be at the microphone answering questions from the press. This is
must, you think they'll have any questions?
Must hear radio today. This is a day after Nancy Pelosi announced that the House is going to open up an impeachment inquiry. And then the morning after the release, this morning was the release of the now declassified, or unclassified, technically is the term, document. It's a memorandum. It's not really a transcript, but it outlines what the president and our president and the president of Ukraine discussed on this telephone conversation on July 25th. And it is... It's interesting. I mean, it's available, widely available. People can pick it up and read it. I was thinking about doing a dramatic re-presentation of it, but then I thought it's too long.
It's not like the Mueller report, though. It isn't. It's only a few pages.
It's 5 pages.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's a pretty quick read, and you know, some of it is just the niceties that happen during a phone call like this,
right?
Including that part where the president of Ukraine clearly talks about how he modeled his own campaign against what the president did. You know. Draining the swamp and that sort of thing.
Yes, President Ukraine was incredibly... Now, you remember, the President of Ukraine was a TV host.
He was a comedian, right. Yeah. It's incredible. He did a comic show about corruption, and that's kind of... He went on these tirades against the government and how corrupt the Ukraine was, and they went viral. And he picked up such a following, he ran for political office. So he's a total political newbie, and he won 73% of the vote there in the Ukraine.
The president opened up the conversation by saying, "Congratulations on a great victory. We all watched from the United States. You did a terrific job. The way you came from behind somebody who wasn't given much of a chance and you ended up winning easily is a fantastic achievement. Congratulations." Then, as he's hanging up the phone, the president says, "Congratulations on a fantastic job you've done. The whole world was watching. I'm not sure it was so much of an upset, but congratulations." I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
It's always
got to
be a little.
There's
bit,
always something cryptic in there.
There's always a body check of some sort, you know, no matter what it is. But all right. So everybody is basically what the press is focusing on today, and I think what these would be the salient points here in terms of wondering if there was any kind of a inappropriate activity going on here during the conversation. The president does discuss the incredible things that the United States has done for Ukraine and how the European countries are not doing what the United States is doing. Specifically,
right.
He talks about Angela Merkel not doing what she's doing. She says she's going to help, but she doesn't help. And he says the United States has been very good to Ukraine. This is a direct quote now. "I wouldn't say that it's reciprocal necessarily because things are happening that are not good, but the United States has been very, very good to Ukraine." Then Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, goes on to say, "You're absolutely right. You're not 100% right. You're 1,000% right." He goes on about Angela Merkel not giving them what they want, and that that the European Union hasn't been strong on the sanctions against Russia, which I think is very interesting there. He then says, "Hey, don't worry. We're ready to continue to cooperate with the next step. Specifically, we are almost ready to buy more Javelins, surface-to-air missiles. Surface-to-surface missiles, I should say, from the United States for defense purposes." The president then says, "I would like that," right after that, "for defense purposes," is the last thing that Zelensky says. According, again, and this is the White House putting this out, the president then says, "I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot, and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people, the server. They say Ukraine has it. There are a lot of things that went on. The whole situation, I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. I would like to have the Attorney General call you or your people, and would like you to get to the bottom of it. As you saw yesterday," this is again July, who had been referring to July 24th there. "That whole nonsense ended with a very poor performance by a man named Robert Mueller, an incompetent performance, but they say a lot of it started with Ukraine. Whatever you can do, it's very important that you do it if that's possible." So what he's asking for there is this conspiracy theory. CrowdStrike is a conspiracy theory that revolves around...
Well, it's an actual company. It's a cybersecurity company backed by Google. Google, and they're the ones who went and looked at the DNC and when they were hacked to examine what had happened.
Correct, but as it's portrayed, you'll see it in social media and other sites here, conservative media sites, as a reference to a conspiracy theory that they do have the 30,000 emails that they have Hillary's server, essentially.
And the president references in this talk or this call, he says this is where it all started here in the Ukraine with this server. So
right.
Basically indicating he wants the server.
Yes, that doesn't there's a lot of denial about that. That's not what is actually going on here. Now, the Ukraine president goes along with it, though, and says, yeah, I'm familiar with what you're talking about. I would also like and hope to see him having your trust. He's talking about the new person, the new ambassador coming in. They don't like the old ambassador to Ukraine. They're talking now about
very
the new
clear about
ambassador,
that.
Right. Because the old ambassador didn't like this. Basically, John Oliver of Ukraine running for president and then getting the job. So they're replacing the ambassador to Ukraine, and then they talk about meeting, and then the president says, "Good, because I heard you had a prosecutor who was very good and was then shut down. That's really unfair. A lot of people are talking about that, the way they shut your good prosecutor down, and you have some very bad people involved. Mr. Giuliani is a highly respected man. He was the mayor of New York City and a great mayor." So he's sending Giuliani over to meet with him here. And the prosecutor he's talking about that was being shut down, that's the theory that the Bidens interfered with this prosecutor. There was an international, now again, if you look at the full reporting on this, it was an international basically group of leaders that wanted, Ukraine was very corrupt. This is an old prosecutor. That prosecutor was one of the corrupt prosecutors that everybody wanted out.
Right. I still think, yeah, I agree with all that. I still think if Biden's son was so linked to that company, it still was a conflict for him to have any activity with any kind of withholding of funds or anything like that. It just seems like if you're going to be calling out other people, you need to also have your hands clean. And it's hard to do that if you're saying we're holding on to your $1 billion when his son is intimately involved. That seems like an opportunity for someone to just sort of not be part of that particular
yes.
Exchange.
Correct.
In a truly ethical situation, right?
I think what ultimately happens here, I don't know what's going to happen to the president as a result of this, but I think that this effectively ends Biden's presidential campaign.
He's already polling behind in Iowa and New Hampshire, two places that matter. His new polling advantage has vanished, according to the latest polls, with Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders benefiting the most.
That's good news for the president. So, I mean, the damage, it's interesting because the damage is done to Joe Biden here in a lot of ways, right? I mean, this is the fact that this is out and this is what's happening. It does take Joe Biden and put him into a different box. And it puts him into this box of, well, because enough people, even if don't understand the details, and I know there's a lot of, like, CNN in their reporting today, it's like, this has all been debunked about Joe Biden and the relationship with the son and the money and all of that. It doesn't matter what the details are. The headline is what sticks.
It doesn't. Plus, even Kamala Harris and other people who are running against Biden are saying, well, we'll have to hear more about how he explains all this. So
right.
Even they're not satisfied with the answers we've had so far. Even if nothing illegal was happening, I think a lot of people say, let's hear a little more about your son's involvement in the Ukraine and the companies that his involvement in both China and Ukraine.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick time out here and then find out what's going on in the news. Quick timeout. And then when the president goes to the microphone, we'll take that live right here on 720 WGN. Kim, what's happening in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom?
Roe, we're waiting to hear from President Trump and the president of Ukraine coming up in that press conference. We'll carry it live, as you've been saying.
Then there's this for the news at 10. Watch WGN TV. Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, Dan Roan, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. All the news at 10, Chicago's very own WGN TV.
All right, we're still awaiting the president stepping up to the microphone in New York City, where he's going to take questions from the press. Oh, this is going to be interesting. I would stay tuned for that. Judy Pilak, remember her?
We do. Of course we do. Queen Judy.
You can meet her. Join. It's sure to be spooktacular, it says here. And scary, because Judy can scare you. I mean, she's going to look at you and scare you.
You got say the ability. Wrong thing. Just be expecting that.
Don't. The Goodbye Girl, Judy Pilak, will be at the Goodwill Store and Donation Center in Lake Zurich on Saturday, October 5th from noon to 2. That's in 2 weeks. Shop for your costumes and decorations and give you a chance to win Goodwill gift cards and tickets to Bears, courtesy of Goodwill. Bears tickets. Bears.
Bears.
You might even win a Halloween-themed centerpiece Judy has created from her finds. She likes to create stuff. She did all of our spooktacular decorating around here.
Right. She used to decorate the green room for the different holidays, all from, you know, things that have been repurposed, as she would say.
The Goodwill store in Lake Zurich is located 746 South Rand Road, coming out Saturday, October 5th. That's a week from Saturday, noon to 2. Details at WGNRadio.com/events. Next week, Judy Pilak is going to return here to play News or Ruse.
Oh, my gosh. Watch out, everybody else.
Today, King John plays News or Ruse, mm-hmm. which is coming right at 6 o'clock tonight. Come back for that. You know, it sounds so easy when you're listening on the radio.
I don't know that it does. They all sound, I think it's a more difficult than you think kind of game.
Sometimes you watch those game shows on TV and you think, oh, I could do that. You know, guess a price right. or, this, you know, we'll put it in the form of a question or whatever. Uh-huh. I could do that. No problem. But when you're actually in that,
no,
that's why the guy
easy.
Who went so far in Jeopardy. Was like that guy's like a superstar. The guy from here is like the gambling dude. I mean, that guy is like it's impossible to do that. He's the Babe Ruth of game shows.
Impossible.
And this News or Ruse, this ain't exactly complicated.
James Holzhauer.
Yeah.
The Naperville guy.
So I'm just saying that this big. You know, this John Williams is going to sit in here and he's going to go, you know, I don't know.
He's not going to know everything.
I don't know. I really don't know.
You just can't.
If I was sitting at home listening on my radio or over the internet, WGN everywhere, or the WGN app, if I were doing that, I would stop and I would say, it was so easy. I get that. That's totally a ruse. Oh, no, that's news. Not when you're sitting here. So you can hear John Williams sweat tonight at 6 o'clock on the radio. As he plays News or Ruse with a lucky contestant.
He's promoting something, too. Something pretty cool.
Well, yes. Because Teddy Roosevelt's going to save America, right?
Mm-hmm.
Teddy saves America. It's kind of fun. He loves talking to dead presidents.
He does.
I just prefer dead presidents in my pocket, if you know what I mean. Yeah, that's the way the kids talk. That's the sort of thing they say. All right, so also coming up on the program, let me point out, Lauren Stryker is going to be here. She's a sort of a famed Chicago mm-hmm. OBGYN, and she has just won an award from the North American Menopause Society. I was once honored by them, too.
You were?
Yes.
That's interesting. I can't imagine what for.
Example of what people get mad about when they're actually encountering the symptoms of menopause.
Who do you direct your ire
right or
at?
Or who the what annoys you most? And that when I came down right at the top, and I got the many for that. So anyway, so she got the really the big award. So she is going to join us, talk about that and all things. And then Mike Rogers, who formerly was the head of the House Intel Committee, Select Committee on Intelligence in the House of Representatives, a Republican from Michigan,
mm-hmm.
and once ran there, was second in charge of the FBI office here in Chicago. Big time intelligence guy. He's got that show Declassified on CNN, and he on
great
Sunday
show.
Nights on CNN is really, really great. And he'll be here to talk about what we have just seen here today, but maybe put it in some perspective. And then coming up, I can't wait to talk about this. Yesterday, we talked about this, what I thought was the most inane thing ever, that kids who are 10 years old have to sign a contract for a sleepover.
That mom put that contract, that very, very elaborate contract out on social media that all the kids had to behave, including no tickling, no raising your voice, lots
right.
of things.
Can't
that
be loud.
Seem you would expect at a sleepover. Kids had to sign it at 10.
Right, exactly. So now we have, it's okay to yell at your kids, but you have to do it the right way. We're going to teach you how to yell at your children the right way.
You're supposed to yell?
It says
there is a right way to yell.
There apparently is a right way to yell. There's a wrong way to yell and a right way to yell.
Because yelling just comes when you get upset, right? But I didn't know that there was a right way to do
yes,
it.
Yes, there's a proper way to yell at your children.
And this is actually yelling, not just like a talking reprimand.
Yelling. Don't get ahead of
yourself.
Sounds
like it's yelling.
Jen DeSalvo. I could tell that, just by listening to Mark Carman, getting to know him over the last number of years, I could tell he got yelled at a lot as a kid. I could just tell.
They avoided me, Ro. That was more the strategy.
Really?
They avoided you.
Because he seems like the peacemaker. Doesn't he always seem like he's always trying to, he's the guy that is like, oh, I gotta work something out here.
I think Mark comes across like the woe is me guy, like, oh, I'll get it figured out, you know. Well, you have the reputation for not exactly thinking on the positive on everything.
Thank you, Anna.
Sorry, Mark. We've all noticed it.
I think it's fair to name things accurately. That's important.
But in sports, I think we were all kind of like that in Chicago. Maybe we all sort of have that issue.
Yeah. I don't think you have to try and make excuses, Anna.
Everyone know him for that?
Stand by 1 second, guys, because the now members of the cabinet and the administration are stepping into the room. There's Jared Kushner sitting next to the Commerce Secretary. And you've got just saw Larry Kudlow walk into the room. This is at the Intercontinental Hotel in New York. The president's about to do a press conference. And his inner circle is, if they're sitting down, that means he cannot be far behind.
No, they'll be very close.
Right.
It's just the president, though, we believe, speaking and talking to the media.
Right. Taking questions from the media. I think he'll have an opening statement and then go right. Or maybe, he's also one of those guys who may just go right in. You. Start with you.
No, not you. You.
Right. Well, we'll see. I mean, he's done that before, so it'll be interesting to... this is the last... First of all, there are only 4 times in the history of the United States of America that this has happened, that the word impeachment has actually been thrown at a president in a serious kind of way, right? Where they're actually... The House of Representatives now taken action to create an inquiry. So here is the president of the United States.
For the news at 10, watch WGN-TV. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Roan, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN-TV.
All right. Now, coming up in just a few minutes, Mike Rogers is going to join us. Former House Intel chairman, former FBI, bigwig. Also, I believe at one point, I don't believe I know, at one point he was one of the honchos here in the Chicago office of the FBI, went on to Congress as a Republican from Michigan, ended up running the House Select Committee on Intelligence, and he has his thoughts on what these last couple of days have been like in Washington and what the president, which we just heard the president say over the last hour here. So that's coming up after the bottom of the hour news. As promised earlier, we want to celebrate a friend of ours here on the program who has done something pretty amazing. Dr. Lauren Stryker, you probably are familiar with her from many years of being on television and other things, right? And maybe some of your patients are out there as well. You are among 2 Northwestern medicine physicians who are going to receive awards from the North American Menopause Society, NAMS, as it's known. And first of all, congratulations on that. And what is the award for?
I'm really excited, too, and I'm so glad you're having me on to talk about this. What NAMS is it is a medical society of menopause experts who gather every year to talk about new research, new ways to take care of women who are going through menopause, and to educate women and educate doctors. And they give an award every year to someone who has been the best media spokesperson on behalf of educating women about menopause, and that would be me.
Oh, my gosh. That's you.
I know. Yeah. I only wish they were going to give me my menopause crown and a sash.
What would that look like?
I don't know. No, we should think about that.
But truly, it's a huge honor because, of course, it's important to me that I take care of patients and I do all the academic stuff. But at the end of the day, the reason I'm out there on TV, on radio shows like yours, writing all the time in the media is because I want women to get good information. Every woman goes through menopause, and most of them are blindsided by it, and they don't know what to do, and very often their own doctors aren't very helpful. And so I really want to be out there and be the voice of giving women accurate information. So they've recognized me for that, to say, not only am I out there talking about menopause incessantly, but I'm actually giving good information and helping women get the help they need.
Why do you think, since every woman's going to go through this at some point, why do you think there is such a disparate, so a wide selection of care here, wide range of care. And I think there's a lot of doctors just look at this, hey, you know, every patient's going to be a little different here, yeah. right? And everybody's going to go through it, and you're just going to have to get through it. I mean, that's...
It's because, first of all, number one, it's a taboo topic. Women don't bring it up because it's an ageism thing. It makes them feel old. It makes them feel dried out. They feel isolated. Am I the only one who's up all night having hot flashes? I can't think right. My vagina's like a dry, you know, like the Sahara Desert. And they don't want to talk about it. It's not like you go to your friend and say, I've got a cough or a cold, and by the way, my vagina is dry, how's yours? So people aren't talking about it. And then when they go to their doctor, they're almost expecting that, well, my doctor is going to bring it up, and then their doctor doesn't. And they're too shy, or they think, well, there's nothing I can do anyway, or maybe hormones are dangerous and there's no other options. So it just doesn't get talked about. And this is really tragic because, you know, we are living in a world where women are living more than one third of their life after the menopause transition. People think it's an old person thing. It's not. People start going through these changes in their mid 40s. 51 is the average age in the United States. We have half the population that's single and out there and dating. And not that everyone, whether they're married or not, doesn't care about this stuff, but even more so if they're having these symptoms. We have women that are at the top of their work lives and they can't work, they can't function. And I don't know if you saw the New York Times, there was an op-ed a week ago that was written by a historian who said, hey, you know, they used to always embrace women with menopause and it was so great and this is a cultural thing and we need to do this and just look forward to it instead of dread it. So I wrote a letter to the editor, which did get published 2 days ago, which basically said there's a reason why people are dreading it. You know, hello, if men on their 50th birthday suddenly were up all night with hot flashes and couldn't have sex and couldn't function and couldn't think and couldn't, you know, focus and do well at work, no one would say, embrace it, embrace it. They'd come up with some solutions. And that's not happening for women.
Well, what I love about you is no topic is too taboo for you,
that's
Dr. Stryker, and with just proven during your just what you said just now. But I think what are you recommending to women is that they go to their doctor armed with questions and like just get in there and just ask everything because they're or what can you do?
No, because if they go to most of their doctors and go there armed with questions, their doctors will say, look, there's Halley's Comet. They'll change the subject. They'll talk about something else. And the reason is because while many doctors are experts in menopause, too many of them are not. They haven't been trained. They don't know how to give the answers. That's why they don't bring it up. It's not that they're embarrassed to talk about it. If someone says, you know, I can't have sex anymore, and all they have to say is you're sorry, that's not what a patient wants to hear. So while your personal physician, internist or gynecologist, may be an expert in menopause, there's a very good chance that they're not. And that's why this particular conference that I'm at, the North American Menopause Society, is so important, because we are training doctors from all over the country. Yesterday, I moderated an all-day course called Menopause 101, which was specifically for otherwise great gynecologists who really just haven't had that much experience in menopause. So if you go to your doctor and you talk about these symptoms and they seem, he or she seems helpful, wonderful, great, lucky you. But if they can't help you, it doesn't mean you can't be helped.
So I know we've got a short period of time here, but so thank God I'm going to limit her answer because half of it I probably can't get on the air. What is the first thing you say when somebody comes in, as you just described, comes in there having their first experience with symptoms here, dryness and hot flashes and all that? What do you suggest?
Basically, what I say is, we're going to have to make a separate appointment. First of all, this is not a five-second discussion. I like to give them some resources and reading material. My book, of course, Sex Rx, Hormones, Health, and Your Best Sex Ever, has a ton on it. Mm-hmm. And in addition, at the North American Menopause Society website, menopause.org is great. But the point is this isn't tagged on to the, you know, your 10-second appointment when you go in for your annual. It's, we're going to sit down and we're going to have a real talk about all the hormonal and non-hormonal solutions for all of these symptoms that are truly getting in the way of your ability to function.
So do you lean more toward hormonal or toward mechanical solutions?
Mechanical? Row.
Just go with me on this. I've got no other words.
Mechanical. It's like you're uncomfortable with the subject.
Lubricants and things like that.
I have to give you a little bit of a hard time. We go back long enough that
it's true.
Of course. It's easy to make them blush on these topics, too. I love it.
I know. I'm all about giving everyone a lot of solutions. You know, that's what it's about, giving a lot of information. There are safe, effective hormonal solutions. There are safe, effective non-hormonal solutions. It's about individualizing, finding out what are your symptoms, what is your medical
background. Everybody's chemistry is different.
Everyone's different. Yeah. Everyone's different, but there are solutions for everybody.
All right. Well, congratulations on this. This is one conference that they don't let me in anymore. Because of questions like that, because I get embarrassed too quickly, and I say things like, "Oh my God, it's so."
Go to the conference.
Did she just say vagina?
Listen, no one is asked. No one going through menopause is coming to me and going, "You know, I need your help, bro, on this." That is for sure. All right, Dr. Lauren Stryker, congratulations! Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Dr. Stryker. Good to see you.
Northwestern Medicine's Lauren Stryker, and again, she is one of two physicians receiving awards from the North American Menopause Society, and that's a big honor. Thank you so much for doing
that. Thank you.
All right. We've got the news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, of all places, right after. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis on 720 WGN. All right. As promised, Mike Rogers is with us, former chairman of the House Select Committee on Intelligence when he was a Republican congressman from Michigan, and once a bigwig in the FBI. I don't want to talk about that. And he is now currently the host of Declassified, Untold Stories of American Spies, and it returns to your television on CNN at 8 o'clock Chicago time on Sunday night. This is a great series. The first one's on 9/11, right? Mike?
You mean the one that's coming up this week, Sunday?
Yes.
And by the way, I was so shocked about how good you were on the show, I was just going to let you guys go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. I mean, as much as you want to say. This one was about the attack on the subway system that was thwarted by the intelligence community almost 8 years after 9/11. So this was the second go-round where Al-Qaeda was trying to, it did recruit people, trained them, sent them to the United States, and the whole process of all of that and how they caught him. Literally, he was hours away from being successful at this event. It's really a great story.
Wow. All right. And as they all are, and you tell them in a great way, and there's just, it's the production just, it grips you. So
no question.
Congratulations on that. All right.
Thank you.
Last couple of days are pretty pretty unsettling, I think, in America in a lot of ways, right? I mean, it's no matter how you look at it, if you're a Trump supporter, you're unsettled by this. If you are somebody who is not a Trump supporter, you're thinking, okay, what happened here? What can I take away from this? Where does this actually go? Right now, and you know, since you used to count some noses in the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi does not have enough votes to actually get this inquiry passed as a as an active investigation. But the committees right now are moving along, and the committees are doing the things that they've already been set to do, including tomorrow talking to the acting DNI. But what do you think is going to happen here, Mike Rogers?
Well, and let me say before you talk about just two parts, the vote piece. Remember, there is one person made an allegation in a whistleblower complaint, and I have done a lot of those whistleblower complaints as chairman of the Intelligence Committee when I was the chairman. And so 8 out of 10 of those just never pan out. It's, you know, what I thought the guy was doing in the next cubicle that offended me, and we find out it wasn't exactly the right story. So you need to get to the bottom of that. It needs to be proven accurate. We shouldn't just say whatever it is, it's gospel. It never works out that way. It could be, you know, a bombshell, and it could be, you know, turned out to be not much of anything, candidly. So I respect the members who are saying, wait a minute, I want to see everything before I go ahead and vote, which I think is a big deal. The transcript, really, it bothered me for a couple reasons. I was very opposed and offended when Hillary Clinton, as a part of her campaign, paid for research, of which part of it contacted Russian intelligence services, active Russian intelligence services, to try to find dirt on her opponent, at that time Donald Trump. I thought it was wrong. I thought we should all be outraged. I thought more should have come of it. And when I saw the transcript, I went, well, I don't know how you can be offended about what Hillary Clinton did and not be offended about what the president just did, including, you know, talking about bringing the our attorney general in, and some notion that, you know, listen, I know we're doing a lot of good stuff for you, But oh, by the way, I'd really like this thing done. I mean, that to me, mingling, I don't care if you like Joe Biden, don't like Joe Biden, or Democrats, don't like Democrats, to me it doesn't matter. When you take a domestic political issue and intertwine it with international affairs like that, that's just never, never a good idea.
Is it enough to impeach or go down that road, in your opinion?
I think they have more to do. I mean, I don't. The call itself does not rise to the level of impeachment. They've got a lot more questions they have to answer, and then lay it over what happened with the whistleblower. My understanding is there's more than one issue that the whistleblower laid out. You know, that to me says that there's a lot of investigating to do to make sure that it would rise to the level. This one call, I think. You couldn't impeach on one phone call like this. You'd have to have something more surrounding it. It certainly doesn't look good. I object to the way that the president did try to interject a domestic issue into international affairs, but it's not enough to impeach. This, I think the whole thing certainly could be, but we shouldn't, you know, to me, the Democrats shouldn't be running around screaming impeachment because it just tears away the credibility of what you need to do. Remember that Lady Justice should be blind and have two scales, not just because you don't like him and you don't like his party or you don't like X. It's serious. It's serious enough. We're going to have to address it. But I wouldn't run around and yell impeachment just yet. Well, do the investigation. Find out exactly what happened. Does it rise to the level of a formal impeachment inquiry? That would be interesting to see.
So the Inspector General, though, did indicate that they took it to the Inspector General, took the whistleblower complaint, did whatever the Inspector General does. Maybe you can explain that a little bit about what that job would be, and then says, hey, this is something that is of an urgent nature, and appears to be endorsing at least part of whatever the whistleblower had to say and saying, listen, I need other eyes on this. That's mm-hmm. what the Inspector General did. How much significance do you put on that?
Well, I mean, I think it's serious that the Inspector General, so what would happen is that doesn't mean the Inspector General did an investigation. That didn't happen. What he did do is did something, you know, he looked at it, said, okay, facts line up. This could be, normally would I investigate this as the IG? Yes, it would lead me to an investigation. But because of the level of the whatever accusation was in that whistleblower complaint, there's a provision under the law that says we need to notify Congress just that we got it. Doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's accurate. Just that we got it because I deem that I would go ahead and investigate this. It rises to that level, if that makes sense. So that would be the first stage of an investigation. And then it got gummed up from there. So there's really been no thorough investigation of that whistleblower report. Remember, in order to do this right, you're going to have to go into the White House. You're going to have to talk to people who did the readout. Oh, there's lots of complicated discussions and interviews that have to happen. None of that happened. But what it does tell me is whoever wrote this knew what they were doing and understood the process to get it kicked up to the level to get it into Congress and must have used terms, descriptions of events that led to him, the Inspector General, who, by the way, is not a political guy, saying, all right, this rises to the level of, yep, this is serious, and it's urgent enough that we would be notifying Congress that we've got it, and then we've got to go into an investigative mode.
How does that readout come about? Dude, what do they have? What's the technology for that?
For the readout of the phone call?
Yeah. Are they recording these phone calls?
Normally on a... I'm sorry?
Are they recording these phone calls?
A lot of times they do. It's up to the president, and there's always somebody listening and kind of a note taker. Mm-hmm. And it depends on who it is and what the call is, on who might be on the line. You could have everyone from your national security advisor or somebody on the National Security Council, depending on what the conversations were. All of that is possible. And so what happens is, in this case, if you notice, the bottom of it said that this is a readout. It's not a verbatim, meaning somebody was taking notes. They took those notes, they put it in a memorandum, and then that memorandum would be what the call was supposed to represent. And you do this for historical purposes. The president wants to call the president of Ukraine, you know, a month from now. Pretty damn hard to remember all the things you talked right. about. So you would go back and pull your notes out and go, okay, that's right. We talked about this, this, and this. So that's the purpose of these, and that's why they have people monitoring those calls. And it's, again, doesn't have to be a verbatim call, and this one was not. I'd be interested to know if there was a verbatim transcript. I'm going to guess there is, and that will likely come out. I don't know how different it's going to be, honestly, from what we see here. I think the verbatim is probably pretty accurate. And I, as I said, mm-hmm. if you were going to change it, that's not the one I would have put
right,
out.
Right. So there's the investigative side of this, Mike. There's the political side of it. And you sit in a place where you're able to address both of those situations or both of those issues. Already you're seeing the Trump campaign and the Democrats raising a ton of money over this issue. The second impeachment was uttered, or the idea of an inquiry came out of Speaker Pelosi's mouth, millions of dollars have poured into Republicans and Democrats. And I wonder if you could just sort of walk us down this walk, if you believe ultimately, take the country out of it for a second and just say politically, will this be good for Democrats? Will this be good for Republicans? Will it be bad for both? What's your read on it from what we know now?
Yeah, I think it's bad for the country at any rate. It just looks like more of the mess. And remember, for Democrats, I don't think it looks good for anybody, by the way, but let me just talk. We'll start with the Democrats. I mean, right after the guy got elected, like Trump, don't like Trump, it was, we're going to impeach him on, the collusion. Well, that didn't work. So what we really meant to say was we're going to impeach him on obstruction of justice. Or what we really meant to say was emoluments clause. We're going to If you're kind of a middle of the road or you're a Republican, it doesn't look good, right? It just destroys their credibility. Remember when the chairman of the Intelligence Committee marched out early on and said, I've seen evidence of collusion, mm-hmm. And we're going to get to it. And then, of course, the Mueller report comes out and says, no, not so fast. And so, to me, that's all a credibility thing. So you're going to have people go into their corners in this country. That part I don't think is healthy.
No.
Had they let the president be president, talked about all the things they disagreed with and the way he operated, that would be one thing. But there's been this constant call. So the credibility of the impeachment, I think, is going to be a fair game issue for Republicans and the president to continue to beat that drum. Like, listen, this is just more of what they've been trying to do for a year. That said, I think they need to look at this in a serious way. Republicans, too. You don't want to create the norm that the President of the United States or candidates, Hillary Clinton too, can engage domestic politics with in foreign affairs. Trust me, that will never work out in our favor, being the United States of America. It never will. There are people will use things against people. People will use that to beat up the United States. And we just don't want to go there. So, again, I hope they take an honest look at it. If it doesn't rise to the level of impeachment, say, hey, Mr. President, you cannot do this. You cannot do this. And tell every other presidential candidate moving forward, you cannot do that. It used to be those are the kind of things you never used to have to talk about.
Yeah.
But that thing, that has just gone away. And it's sad, I think, for the country. And I argue it's probably going to be bad for both parties at the end. They're all going to look... as my father used to say, you walk through a field of cows, you're going to get some manure on your shoes.
Is that what your dad used to say? Is that exactly how he put it? Yeah.
Not exactly.
Mike Rogers, I'm just going to say one thing. I'm just going to say this out loud. I cannot see you. You are on the phone. We cannot see your expression. But I'll be able to hear your breathing.
Oh.
This is like an FBI trick that I'm using here.
FBI.
Yeah, on this. Because I'm going to just say this. Because I honestly think that there is something, there's a nexus here between two important things. And this, at this moment, as the president is, you have a whistleblower account that has just become public that goes back to July 25th of this year. It was all in this intelligence and national security realm,
mm-hmm.
right? All of this, these conversations. And John Bolton left as national security advisor 3 weeks ago, essentially, under an insult by the president. John Bolton is not the kind of guy who's going to go away quietly. John Bolton also... It occurs to me to be the kind of guy that would like to seek revenge and like to seek it in the sort of way that he would operate in that sort of that shadowy kind of way. I see John Bolton's fingerprints all over this. Now I've said it.
Did I tell you about my show Declassified on Sunday nights?
That's a perfect way of getting out of that. You couldn't have done it any better.
We can't get Mike on that stuff.
Sunday night at 8 p.m. Chicago time, Declassified. Go watch it. This was a thwarted terrorist attempt 8 years after September 11th. This is an incredible story. The promo for this is chilling. The promo alone for it is chilling. Right. As they were literally, as you had federal agents racing to try to keep these guys from getting on the subway to enact a massive subway attack in America. So.
And it was they knew what they were doing. They were trained. They had the explosives. This thing was a go operation. And to watch our intelligence service try to wrap around and try to stop this thing was really exciting.
All right. Check it out. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Bye. John Bolton did it. Bye.
He's former FBI, right? He's not going to fall for that stuff.
Right. Kim Gordon, what's going on in the news at the top of the hour?
Roe, police activity in the Loop has led to the evacuation of the Clark and Lake CTA station. We'll have more on this breaking news coming up.
Procon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. The stories that matter with Kim Gordon of the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right around the corner. Top 5-5, you will or will not believe. I believe you'll not believe it. And then a new study says it's okay to yell at your kids if you do it the right way.
And what is the right way?
I have no idea what that means. I mean,
I didn't know there was a right way.
Apparently there is a right way and there's a wrong way to handle these kinds of things. And I know that most of the time I'm wrong. And in the 6 o'clock hour, stay tuned for this. It's only an hour away. King John Williams. John Williams will join us to play News or Ruse. Oh, sure. It sounds so easy on the radio. We'll find out what His Highness actually thinks after the whole game's done. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be something. And don't forget that, you know, he's sitting down with Teddy Roosevelt Saturday, October 12th at 10:30 a.m. at Elgin Community College's Blizzard Theater. They named that, of course, after the Dairy Queen treat. Uh-huh. All right, don't anybody move. All that is coming your way. And again, the news is now 2 minutes away from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
Of interest to the program, Ro.
Yes.
You know, White Claw, the boozy seltzer water.
Yeah,
what's
sure.
not to love?
Mm-hmm.
With the phenomenal growth and success and all the rest of that. Well, now, Chicago-based MillerCoors getting into the game big time with the deep pockets and going to try to take part of that market. Also of interest, there's the president of Mike's Hard Lemonade, which owns the White Claw.
Mm-hmm.
He oversees the White Claw from offices on Jefferson Street in the West Loop.
He's our guy. What happened to Becca? Where's Becca?
Yeah,
there you go. There you have it.
Inspired a song and everything.
Yep. All right. Well, let's talk about, let's get through the top 5 of 5 here. We all must hold each other to get through this. And then on the other side of the top 5 of 5, if you yell at your kids, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And we're going to, parent instruction camp is now underway here.
I didn't know there was a right way to yell at your kids.
This story is ridiculous, but we'll share it with you. That's coming up at 5:40. And then King John Williams, is going to play News or Ruse. He's going to find out it's not as easy as he thinks.
It is not.
No. But first,
it's the top 5 on the Rokon Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. Checking in at
number 5.
All right. The president had a press conference today, right following the UN General Assembly in New York, and he says that it was actually Democrats who traveled to Ukraine and threatened the president.
There's a lot of corruption going on, and there was corruption. I just told you about senators that threatened him with votes and no money coming into Ukraine if they do things. That's really what people are trying to say that I did. But the only difference is I didn't do it. You take a look at that call. It was perfect. I didn't do it. There was no quid pro quo. But there was with Biden, and there was with these senators, they threatened. They said, you do this, you do that, we're not going to give you votes. That's the real deal.
Well, there is a difference, though, because the senators are theoretically representing American the interests of the United States foreign policy when they're doing that. They're saying you need to get rid of the, you know, if they're saying, for example, to this new president, you do have to rid these corrupt officials that we know were involved in things. You know, our own intelligence said that. And there is, you've got people around you, or you're doing something, or you're not taking care of the business that we want you to take care of as it pertains to Russia. We're not going to give you the votes for funding. And that is just, that's political horse trading. That's how that goes. That's just tough negotiating on behalf of the United States of America. If you're doing it for your own personal purposes because you've got a primary or an election coming up, and you've got, he doesn't have to worry about the primary, but he's got an election coming up, and this is likely to be, or was at that moment at least, likely to be your opponent trying to dig up dirt on that, that's different. And it's still up for, I'm going to tell you, I mean, it's still interpretable, but that is an apple and an orange. I don't know if we want to eat either of them, but you have two of them right there. There is a difference here. The president was asked if he was reluctant to release the transcripts.
I don't like the concept of releasing calls, because when a president or a prime minister or a king or a queen calls the United States, you don't like to say, gee, we're going to release your call to the fake news media and they're going to make you look like a fool. What happens is it's hard to do business that way. You want to have people feel comfortable. So I hated it, but you folks were saying such lies, such horrible things about a call that was so innocent and so nice.
They did ask the Ukrainian president if he was okay with it.
If he felt pressured.
But if he was okay with the release of the call.
Oh, they did in advance of doing that.
Yes. Mm,
but I suppose they might have done it anyway.
Right. And he said he did not feel pressured. I don't feel pressure. Here's what the president said about Adam Schiff.
But when you see what happened with the viciousness, and when you see little Adam Schiff go out and lie and lie and stand at the mic, smart guy, by the way, stand at the mic and act like he's so serious. And then he goes into a room with Nadler and they must laugh their asses off. They must laugh their asses off. But it's so bad for our country.
All right. There you go. That was the president earlier today. More of this tomorrow, because now a bunch of congressmen and senators have read the
whistleblower
complaint. And they're coming out, and you know, as one would anticipate, Democrats are coming out and saying, oh, this is bad. And then Republicans are coming out and saying, oh, well, I don't know. So more on this. This is not going away anytime soon. And I mean by next Tuesday. I think it's about the time that America will lose interest in this story, potentially. All right, checking in at
number four.
Chicago teachers held a rally last night as they began to vote on authorizing a strike next month. Contract negotiations continue, and the voting will last until tomorrow. Strike, 75% must vote in favor for there to be a strike, and that could take place in October.
They're saying 7. They have the votes. The Jesse Sharkey, the CTU president, says he's got them.
And that's 75% of every single union member in the district, correct?
It's every
100%.
Yeah, everyone who's part of the union. That's right. Yes. It was changed as part of the Daley administration, remember, to from, I think it was 50% or a majority to 75%.
People, I'm trying to get to Bernie Sanders
okay.
here.
Sorry, back to
all
Bernie.
Right.
Bernie Sanders was in attendance at this particular rally last night and spoke to the crowd.
You want and I want that the teaching profession receive the honor and respect it deserves for the enormously important work you do. And I'm not here just to flatter you. I'm not here to say nice things about you. What I'm here to say is what you know.
anybody. And I hear all these politicians, they got big flags behind them. They tell us how much they love America. If you love America, you love the children of America. If you love the children of America, you love the people who educate and take care of those children.
Very popular there with the teachers. Bernie Sanders, John Cusack in attendance as well. He was part of the group on stage rallying.
Yeah, that's going to help
support of the teachers.
Right. Welcome back. Are they going on strike in Malibu too? There's Bernie. You know, he's also, you know, he's very animated. He's also trying to figure out where he was going to actually get a nosh after the meeting.
I'd suggest Manny's Deli.
I believe I would like to have been at Manny's, but they're closed. It's on the Abe. I'm incapable of being there at this particular moment, but I do understand the mishmash soup is quite delicious.
It is. I would second that.
They have the best latke in all of Chicago. Has anybody, hands, who's eaten there?
Underrated breakfast, Bernie.
Highly underrated. I very rarely get here for breakfast, but I do sometimes have the lunch. I can't believe how big the sandwich is at Manny's.
It's very big.
But it's also $16.
Well, matzo ball soup, great bargain there because it's excellent. And great people watching, too.
You're right, Bernie. It should be cheaper.
I've always said that. Maybe half a sandwich, maybe, because that's good enough. You get a half a sandwich and then you order extra bread.
Great holla.
The plan there is they don't want to sacrifice the quality. So they just, as meat prices go up, they just, you know, they keep the same amount of meat.
So remember, now Bernie did end on that whole notion of you know, you got to love America's kids. Remember when Bernie was a children's television host, and he would teach the kids about pressing issues of the 1970s?
Do any of the older kids do you know have some problems with drugs occasionally?
No.
Who wants to talk to me about that one? What about drugs? Is that a problem?
I like Coke.
Okay, do you want to talk about that one? Paula, who said they like Coke?
Me.
All right, you tell me about that.
I like Coca-Cola.
Oh, Coca-Cola. All right, but who knows about cocaine? Anyone ever seen cocaine?
Yeah.
How old are these kids?
Right. Hold it, one at a time. What about cocaine? Good thing, bad thing, what?
Bad.
Why help the kids?
Because it has a bad effect on the body.
That's right.
Speaking of Coca-Cola, the one thing at the Manny's Deli is that you have to get the Coca-Cola before you go to the fountain. You must ask for the plastic cup before you go. Otherwise, you have to go back and get totally in line, and then it delays the time before you can have your pastrami, and you do not want to eat that when it is cold.
Right, it's sort of the cafeteria style. You got to go through and make your decisions quickly.
It's a small cup, too.
Yeah, you got to keep going back for that. All right.
If the package is accepted, it'd be the highest paid teachers in the country, CTU, right now. Currently, the mayor says.
All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one, but first let's check in right now with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Road, the CTA station at Clark and Lake has reopened after earlier police activity. We'll bring you the latest coming up.
Catch Living Healthy Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans' health and fitness. Living Healthy, Saturday at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV.
And Jen DeSalvo's traffic was brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. A lot of people call and ask, and I said, yeah, I'll tell you about that on the other side.
Great. Thanks for getting that in.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's get back to the top five and five.
Number three.
Antonio Brown's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, said, wait, Bobby Darling, sweetheart, listen, he's not quite done. That sounds like Bernie Sanders, doesn't it? My agent and Bernie Sanders.
I thought he tweeted that he was done.
He's not done with the NFL. There's a lot of teams that Drew's talking to.
We're moving on. I believe that Antonio wants to continue his career in the NFL, and I've mentioned that. I have had discussions with a few teams that are very interested in him and want to know about his future and what's going on with the NFL. And hopefully when that is all resolved, Antonio will be able to continue his Hall of Fame career.
Okay.
So several teams are interested in him.
Yeah.
Would the Bears be on that list? Do we think?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think
no.
So. No.
No. Mark, was that a sarcastic no?
Yeah, that was like a that was like a Michael Jordan imitation, weirdly out of place. No. They're not bringing in Antonio Brown.
No.
So this is just the agent trying to drum up some kind
business,
of business.
Is what he's saying. That's exactly what he's trying to do, drum up business.
Number two.
Bears are going to wear their 1936 throwback uniforms Sunday when they take on the Vikings. Five players who lead the team's social justice committee wanted to deliver an important message. Trey Burton, Akeem Hicks, Danny Trevathan, and Mitchell Trubisky, and Chase Daniel, joined George H. McCaskey in a two-minute video released last night in which they discussed the lessons learned from the past and how that can be applied to the future.
Integration of the NFL and the Bears was too long in coming, but we're proud that this year's Bears will be the first African Americans to wear these jerseys.
The importance of wearing this jersey goes way beyond this moment. Wearing this jersey is a sign, a symbol for the people that came before us that weren't allowed to wear this jersey. And now, on our shoulders, is the opportunity to represent not only our culture, but our city and our team by wearing this jersey and being the first African Americans to do so.
Okay. All right. There you go.
How about that? Very cool. Have you seen the jerseys, Mark? What are they?
I love the look. It's a little bit odd to me.
Have we seen these before? Or is this a new one?
There, if you like watch really, really old school NFL, they got the stripes,
No, but this is
the brown pants.
They haven't done this one. They haven't worn this as a throwback before.
No, they have not.
Okay.
No, they have not.
Brand new. Yeah, I don't like the brown pants. You know, the Packers were wearing the brown pants, and they looked like they did something bad in them the other night. Yeah. Oh. And then, like, the other day.
Kind of can cover it up if you do something bad.
It just didn't look right. Thing. Didn't look right.
You said doo-doo.
Paul McCartney is promoting his first children's picture book, Hey Grand Dude. That's the name of it. He discussed his inspiration behind the book to Stephen Colbert.
This all started because one of my grandchildren, I have eight grandchildren, Stephen.
Congratulations.
One of them, who shall remain nameless, Beckett, he just one day said, Hey, Grand Dude. He started calling me Grand Dude. So I said, oh, that's a great idea. And so I wrote some stories, and then these people found out and said, do you want to do a book?
Mm-hmm. All right, there you go.
Grand Dude, that's a good good way to go. There you still go. Feel young and want to feel young?
He's still Sir Paul McCartney, as confused as ever.
The top five at five.
RoCon Show with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now let's talk a little bit about this story. Yesterday, we had a story that, you know, with the kids going to sleepovers, having to sign a contract. If you're a 10-year-old, that you're not going to be loud. You're going to keep your hands to yourself.
You're not going to tickle anybody. You'll dress by yourself. Not in front of any of the other members of the sleepover party.
Right. No nakedness in front of the other kids. All these. And it was a contract that a parent had 10-year-old sign when they came over to the
house.
And
was so proud that she posted it on social media to let other parents know this is what you need to do.
Right. And then we made fun of her. Now comes a story about how to yell at your children. Yelling is okay, but only if you do it the right way.
I'm so invested in this.
Because no one understands what that means.
No.
Yelling the right way?
According to research, I don't know whose research this is, and quite honestly, I don't care. Because when you get through this, you're going to know that this is not written by a parent. How to yell.
Okay. How to yell.
The first rule of yelling is to refrain from critique while doing it. This is a University of Texas at Austin researcher.
Refrain from critique?
Yes. Apparently, he's never been to a football game, is my guess. Calling your... get your shoes on. If you yell that, that's okay. Get your shoes on!
Oh, okay. I do that all the time.
Don't run in the street!
I said put your shoes on! Because then there's always the reminder one that gets a little louder. And each subsequent one gets a little louder.
But here's a mistake. What are you, slow? Because you can't put your shoes on?
Oh. Ooh. Judge.
Do not judge. Do not call someone, you're so dumb you can't even put your shoes on. This reminds me of my own childhood. But
it's like, where did that come from?
That's
just painful for you.
I'm just telling you that this may be a little bit of, you know.
What happens?
Yeah.
This is how we got where we are today.
Parents should also refrain from lecturing their children about any behavioral problems following the yell-inducing incident.
You mean like other issues, bringing other stuff up?
Parents let the irritation show in our voice because we want the child to know we're frustrated, with the hope that it will motivate them. This can be okay, as long as parents make it clear that we are frustrated with the behavior, not the child themselves.
You know, whenever I raise my voice at my puppy, she just decides to grab one of her toys and start booping me with it.
That's
or
a
starts
puppy.
Eating grass.
That's a puppy.
Because they know how to get out of it. Then kids figure it out, too. My daughter does not respond to it when we sort of yell. She's like, why are you yelling? Why?
Oh, that's great.
And then that's terrible, because then you're like, gosh, I don't know. Why am I yelling? I probably shouldn't be yelling. But now I know the right way to yell, and I'll tell her. I'm going to yell in the right way.
You know what? If we could just, you know, this could be, if we had the demographic of seven-year-olds listening to us right now, we would have just won the war.
Exactly.
Because we could just teach all these kids to go, hey, just remain calm and go, why are you yelling? Dude, what's wrong with you? Don't call me dude!
Mom, you are a loose cannon.
Right, exactly. Is what that's what the seven-year-old is saying to you at that moment. Like, why is that necessary? What's this all about?
Oh, man.
No, but see, my daughter got this issue where if you give two commands in a row, there's no chance both of them will get, like, pick up your backpack and get your shoes. I'll meet you at the door.
It's
no,
one at a time.
No way. There's no way. All three. No way. All three of those get done. So then you start yelling.
Three.
Yeah, that's like three.
Yeah, you know, for me, I was never good at that. First of all, I was asleep. That would be the first problem. I was asleep till like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Very similar to where I am now. but the idea of, all right, you're going to do one, two. I remember these colors: blue, orange, and magenta.
No chance.
Repeat that to me. Especially if they're yelling, you can't follow any of that. I can't.
Well, yeah, I don't know. My daughter will just be like, oh, I was going to do that, Mama, but now I just found, did you see this really cool picture of a unicorn I saw on the way? And like then, be, no, I need you to get your shoes on, we're leaving. And then the yelling starts. I can't. But as long as I don't judge in the yelling, I've learned that that's okay.
Would you like the second rule of yelling
what
at
is
your
it?
Children?
What is it?
According to the University of Texas at Austin.
Okay.
And again, I don't know. Can you imagine in Texas when this gets out? Are you telling me that our university not paying my taxes for it told us not to yell at our children?
Well, it is Austin. They're pretty progressive there, aren't they?
Yes, that's true there. Well, that's why I hate that town.
The hipster way to
right. This is not coming.
Your children.
I'm going to tell you this right now. This is not coming out of Texas A&M.
No.
I'm going to tell you that right now. No.
No, go Aggies. Nope.
What the hell? All right, so the second rule of yelling is to consider one's audience. Toddlers are unlikely to understand the substance of the yell, and they will only absorb the frustration or fury. Yelling at this age group is not likely to get them to do something quicker or stop doing something foolish. Okay. All right, let me just say this about that. There's no way. There is no way that you're going to get the attention of a toddler by going, I'm sorry, Aiden, come here. Come here. It's just Blake, Aiden.
Tell your brother Aiden, Blake. Get over here.
Becca says, wait, no, Becca would be the babysitter in this particular
case. Right, I think that's right.
Becca probably let you do things, Aiden, that you're not supposed to do. So I would like you to stop taking that garden hose and sticking it in your mouth. Please put the garden hose down.
Yeah, I don't think toddlers really respond to that so total calm thing.
Right. No.
Very hard to get their attention.
Yeah. What are you going to do? The toddler's just going to keep doing whatever they're going to be doing. Right? Because the toddler looks at you and go, who do you think you are, Mr. Rogers? Shut up. I like this garden hose.
Well, the toddler doesn't know, right? The toddler will go and put their fingers in an electrical socket if you let them.
Right. A mayhem. I like this electrical socket.
If you yell at them, do they start crying? Is that what happens?
Yeah.
So that's what they're saying. You don't want to shout at them until they cry?
I'm so sorry, Aiden. I'm so sorry. Please put the garden hose down. please put the butcher knife down now. Aiden.
Drop it.
Just drop it. That'd be okay. Put that. Okay. All right. Put the Colt 45 revolver down, please. Aiden,
it's loaded.
Aiden, put that down. Put that down. Yeah, no. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know what the, you know.
So the toddler age is not appropriate to yell to them. So it's according to the study.
Yes.
No yelling.
Right. And also pay attention to how a child responds to the yelling. We're born with different temperaments. I've never noticed that. With some of us being far more conflict averse than others. Some children, a yell is just a parent being loud. To others, it's a personal indictment, and it stings.
See, that's what I like about this. This is a guide for passive-aggressive people. That's what I'm getting.
Exactly.
You're all over it.
Aiden, if you'd like the international funding, you're going to do what Daddy says. All right. Holly, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Holly.
So I don't consider myself, I wasn't much of a yeller when my kids were younger. And but you get loud sometimes, and my kids would accuse me of yelling when I wasn't yelling. So then I made a conscious effort to speak, to make sure I wasn't speaking loud, and they would tell me, still, stop yelling at us. And I was like, but I'm definitely not yelling. And No, and they said, no, now we know when you speak softer, that means you're really yelling.
Yeah. Well, that's the, now I got to tell you, that's the other side of that, which is when they get to a certain age, though. But I think that's like around 10-ish. You know, they've been yelled at for the first 10 years. And then when they're like, when they come in and they go, and then you do the old, where were you? Not, where were you? Where were you? It's, it can be very scary.
Chilling.
Yeah. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're like, buh, 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 buh. You know, the lip starts to quiver. There's the eyes start to well up. Because you know, because they already, at 10, they already know that you know. That the answer is in their hands at that point. Like, it's like, I know, and I got to think, now am I going to lie? Am I going to tell the truth? What am I going to do? I mean, it becomes a whole kind of a process right there.
Well, that is scary.
That's very good. Holly, very good advice. Thank you.
Thanks, Holly.
Oh, man. Oh, man, that was scary. And especially, you're like, yeah. But although my mom never did anything not loud. That was the one thing. That was
so she'd be like, "Ro, get over here!" When you came home, she'd be telling you right away.
Yeah, there'd be screaming. There was Hitchcockian screaming in the household. Actually, wasn't even kind of like a all right, kids, get to the table. Not like that. It was. It's sometimes it sounded as though a murder were taking place, and I'm like, "Oh my god, what am I going to do?" There was a lot of panic. It just explains a little bit about where we are now. That's all.
People are sensitive.
Yes.
Very sensitive.
Why you?
Children are sensitive.
Sometimes hear the things that you hear here on this program. That's all. All right. So
you blame your mother for all of it?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. That's right. Just ask all the therapists. They will. They go along with that.
Did your mother yell at you as a child?
Now, how you know the yelling has gone too far?
Okay.
Yelling tends to happen during a moment of heightened emotions. Or, in my case, 24 hours a day. And heightened emotions tend to make our judgment blurry. We might have had a good reason to lose our cool, but once that cool is lost, it's easy to get carried away. So says, you know.
Sure, that's true.
University of Texas at Austin.
Who hasn't sort of lost it and then like, wait a minute, that wasn't really quite appropriate.
So there is another clinical social worker who has published a book, How to Stop Losing Your S with Your Kids.
Okay.
That's actually a book. I'd like to see that in the children's section of the bookstore. Mommy, what is that? Shut up, Aiden! Now, parents who are worried that their yelling may have veered toward rage should ask themselves a few questions. Was the behavior explicable to the whole family? I don't even understand what that means.
Well, whatever the offense is.
Yeah. But was it
explainable? Can you explain what it was?
Was their behavior... yeah, okay, but does that mean that if somebody understood the behavior? So when the 4-year-old ran into the street, the 6-year-old was like, yeah, no, I get it.
That's okay.
That's because, you know, that's a 4-year-old right there. Mom, I don't know if you know this, but that you know, Aiden's 4. He doesn't know crap.
Or does it mean, was it unjustified? Like, you're kind of losing it over nothing.
Shut up, Noah!
Noah. I see you're up to date on the children's baby names of you. The millennial.
Was there a clear cause and effect as to why they got so upset?
Okay, right. So is it something that's like life-threatening? You're going to lose it a little bit.
Right.
Because you're scared and, you know, they're walking into traffic. Or is it too small for the amount of screaming?
If not, the yelling may be traumatizing to the child.
Okay.
But
that
again,
makes sense. I totally get that one.
Yeah, but again, Noah's like, hey, come on. Come on. Aiden is 4. Aiden's a moron. I got this whole thing worked out. I'm 6.
I was just putting my hand in the gator cage. What's the problem?
That gator's not going to snap. I've done this a million times. It's camp. You weren't here, Mom. What's wrong with you? This researcher says that nearly all typical, reasonably good enough parents, and that's really quite a thing, reasonably good enough. That's how I consider myself.
Yeah, I'm reasonably good enough as a parent.
Right. Well, we'll have toxic explosions once in a while. And as long as they are just once in a while, they can actually be useful. I want my kids to learn that people don't always behave perfectly, and you can be in a healthy relationship in which sometimes people lose themselves.
That's how you explain it.
Yeah. and if you got multiple kids, sometimes you do have to let the kids, you know, sometimes you let the kids referee themselves.
Right, there's their management when they get to be a certain age of the other kids.
Noah, run out in the Kennedy and get your brother.
He's out there somewhere.
He ran out in the traffic. I'm trying to change a tire here. All right, let's check in now with Kim, find out what's going on in the news at the top of the hour.
Illinois Congressman Mike Quigley has gotten a look at the whistleblower complaint behind the push for impeachment. We'll bring you his reaction coming up.
Did you know there's a book, thank you to the texter, 773, called The Good Enough Parent. It's good for relaxing basic parent worries. Good enough.
Well, who can do this right? It's the hardest job imaginable.
Perfectly? Nobody.
Right. And you have no idea what you're doing.
No.
There's no man. You know, that's the first thing you think about. And now they say it to you a lot in the hospital. Well, there are no manuals for this.
Right.
Well, no crap. Because when I put the kid in the first time in the car seat, I'm like, where's the manual? I'm supposed to go home now with this.
I didn't even know how to put the car seat in.
I'm not even sure what that is. It looks a little like an alien. And I'm supposed to keep it alive, right? That's sort of what I said.
And the more kids you have, the more it just feels like you're controlling chaos.
Yeah.
One of my best friends has 5 kids. She's just constantly, she said, I wish they would forget the word mom. Because they're always, mom. It's always mom. She is, it's a little too much.
I have friends with 5 kids, and they don't know the name of the youngest one.
They've never seen him. Never met her.
I'm not sure. Yeah, that's being raised by the other ones.
It's
they're
management.
Not even sure. Yeah.
You got older kids, they can manage the younger ones.
In 6 months, they haven't seen the youngest one. And they're like, where's your sister? Oh, she's fine. That's basically what they've done.
It works. Good enough.
Yeah, it's good enough.
It's good enough.
Good enough parent.
I'm a good enough parent.
Yeah, I like that. Coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. That's why it's, you know, having you and I both only had one child, and it's and so, you know, everything, you know, it's that's full on. When you have other cohorts in there, that can turn the situation around very quickly. So hopefully, and hopefully I hope my friends find that 5th kid, because I know it's somewhere.
And now the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. That is indeed what is going to be happening here. John Williams is joining the program for this moment. I'm sorry, John, that we had to meet under these circumstances.
These are fine circumstances.
He might enjoy it.
I was hoping this would be the cocktail day. I'm never invited on during the cocktail time.
The Carnarvon wagon?
Well,
yeah. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. We don't drink all 5 days of the week. Teddy Saves America, sponsored by Joint Relief Institute, is the title of the new show featuring John Williams and, of course, Clay Jenkinson, who is Teddy Roosevelt. The show is on Saturday, October 12th at 10:30 a.m. at the Elgin Community College Blizzard Theater, named after the Dairy Queen treat.
I wish they had named it Blizzard Theater, because that just doesn't sound so inviting. right?
Where does it come from? I don't know.
If there must be somebody named the Blizzards, because Blizzard, you don't want to go to a show in a blizzard.
No.
And
you don't want to be cold in a theater either.
I know. Maybe we should give out ice creams, but it's a beautiful theater because I've worked this joint before, and it's very, very nice.
So. That's 1700 Spartan Drive in Elgin.
Elgin Community College.
Spartan Theater. That would have been nice.
That would have worked. Right. How about the Elgin Theater?
Go to WGNradio.com/Teddy.
Yes.
For tickets.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's how you get them.
And now the winner of this particular item of the News or Ruse is going to get a $75 Green Tea Home Services gift certificate, whether you need garage door maintenance, air duct purification, carpet cleaning. They do it all. 800-5-GREEN-TEA, greenteaservices.com. And everybody's getting a pair of tickets to Silver Creek Rockin' Brew Fest Sunday, October 27th. That's 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern, because this is in New Buffalo. So you got to remember that. Enjoy over 20 local breweries, live music from Elton John and Tom Petty tribute bands. They could not get Elton John to be there, and of course Tom Petty is dead. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
Too bad.
Rockin' Brew Fest for
Good
Wins
sell,
Casino.
What? But New Buffalo's pretty special.
Stray Dog. Love it.
Yep. Me too.
There you go.
So many good spots there.
Oh, yeah. No, it's that.
They still have a beach, too.
They do, in parts. So some of them are eroding.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready? Here we go. Debbie is going to be playing with Kim. And we also, let's see who else we have here. We've got Nancy playing with Jen. And Gigi is playing with John.
Hi, Gigi.
Hi, John.
Hashtag Team Nancy.
Hi, Jen.
Oh, wow.
There's some energy on that team. Yes.
Then, Debbie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Debbie, got to represent the... you and I will be the low-energy ones on the show. This is going to be good. All right, here you go. Here's your headline. We're going to start with you, Debbie. Listen to this. You and Kim.
All righty, let's go.
Okay. All right, let's go, Kim.
French chef sues Michelin guide, claiming he lost a star for using cheddar cheese.
Oh, I think that's news. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's news, too.
What was that?
What was that? A cheese grater?
No, that was not.
It's a cheese grater.
What? That is a
all right, Devin, there we go. Keep that for the next Packer game. Nancy and Jen.
Ooh, that was low.
Oh, ouch. Here's the headline for you, too. Woman divorces husband and marries their wedding DJ.
Oh, that's news.
It's news, you think, Jen?
I think so. Unfortunate
okay,
for the husband.
All right, we'll go with news.
Well done.
I'll tell you,
well played.
The DJ, I should have just stayed as a DJ.
They're very attractive. There's something about them.
I don't know what it is. All right, you're out. I'm with the wedding DJ now.
Was it
actually at the wedding that happened? Because I'd like to know.
Well, I can read the article, but that's, you know, that'd be a lot of work.
It was 2 years afterwards. Oh, my God. That's something. All right, here we go. Gigi and John. You ready, John Williams?
Let's go, Gigi.
Okay.
Judge sides with Orlando street musician over right to annoy the public.
I don't know, Gigi. What are you thinking about that? Is that true? Is that news?
I'm thinking that might be true.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm thinking you can't just go bugging people on the streets.
This is true.
I need an answer.
All right.
Let's go with Gigi's. Let's call it news.
All right.
You want to go with Ruse?
Okay.
No!
Way to go. Way to go.
Well, that took forever.
Good instincts.
John, show ends at 6:30.
I know this. I got to learn the pace.
All right, here we go.
Debbie and Kim, right? Here's your headline.
Yep. All righty.
Disneyland Paris visitor on bad LSD trip, falls into Adventureland Lake, turns up naked after 130-person search.
Oh, my God.
A lot going on there.
A lot going on there.
Oh, my God. I think that's news.
I'm going to go news. It's just too much.
It is too much.
Wow, that's impressive.
That all happened. Yeah, I know. Nancy and Jen, here's your headline. Russian Navy boat sinks in Arctic after walrus attack.
What do you think, Jen?
I'm just going to go with pure numbers here, and I think that this is a ruse.
We're due for one.
Okay, I'll go with ruse.
That one did seem like a weird one.
Yeah.
All right, Gigi John, here it is. Message in a bottle leads to rescue of California family stranded on 40-foot waterfall.
Wait, I was with you until the 40-foot waterfall. Yep. Oh, not like a water slide, but a waterfall. They were stranded on a waterfall.
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
Gigi,
it's
I think it's crazy enough
to be true.
Let's go with news.
Okay.
Yeah!
Yes! Totally happened.
Wow.
That's real.
That is very
Big
exciting.
Sir.
I know.
Happened.
What are the chances?
I'm not surprised.
All right. We got the Orion Samuelson round coming up next. Don't anybody move. First of all, for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, what is coming up at the bottom of the hour? Kim.
Rhode Joliet police investigating a series of overdoses this week.
Fox 4, the news at 10. Watch WGN-TV. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Ronan, Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, you know where to go. Watch Chicago's very own WGN-TV.
All right, we're playing News or Ruse with John Williams. King John is here. Teddy Saves America, brought to us by the Joint Relief Institute. That is a show featuring John Williams and, of course, Teddy Roosevelt. Now, Teddy Roosevelt remains dead at this hour, but it doesn't matter. He brings him back.
He's really good.
Yeah, at least once or twice a year, Teddy Roosevelt is resurrected, and he stands there and he gets mad at everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's so, pretty much it.
Yeah, that's really good. So Saturday, October 12th, that's in a couple of weeks, 10:30 a.m., Elgin Community College's Blizzard Theater. Tickets are $35. Go to WGNradio.com/Teddy.
Thank you.
That is a... That's a deal at any
special
price,
show. We tell great stories on this radio station, and he tells great stories on stage. It's really fun.
All right.
Awesome. Good
show. We continue on here with News or Ruse. Nancy is playing with Jen DeSalvo in for Lauren Lapka. I would say that, Nancy, you're going to have to get this one right here, because if you don't, you're out.
Like the Cubs, right?
Yes, exactly. Oh. Your magic
There's
number.
There's still a chance, though.
Tragic,
There's
tragic
still a
number
chance.
Is one. And here it is right here. Here is, as read by Orion Samuelson, Radio Hall of Famer, here is your headline.
$5 million worth of precious metals, mint condition video game systems, and weapons discovered in abandoned mine outside Denver.
I know that there's.
I think that's true.
Yeah, I feel like there's a
news
place that all the CDs of the past.
All right, you go with your. I'm running out of time.
Sorry, John Williams.
News.
Ouch.
There you go.
Man, this is getting ugly.
I like how Nancy just jumped right to it. You know, there was. I got to play around with this. I got it.
All right. She's in.
Oh, wait, no. Oh, my God. Hold
on. What?
I misread that. That was ruse.
That was a ruse.
Oh, my God. I just kept you alive.
Sorry.
Oh, God, Nancy. I'm so sorry.
You had my hopes up.
I know. All right.
Fake headline.
Debbie and Kim, here is your headline.
All righty.
Skyrocketing avocado prices leading to phony guacamole made with squash.
Oh, I think that's probably true, because I know that the avocado prices have gone, like, out of control. I'm going news.
I agree.
That was news. Yes. There we go.
So true.
I finally got one right. See, it's even hard to host this thing, John.
Wow.
Not just to play it.
It's too many moving parts for me, I'll tell you that.
There are a lot of moving parts.
All right, Gigi and John, this is to stay in it. Otherwise, Debbie and Kim win it.
Come on, Gigi.
Here you go.
Angry wasps help German police nab fleeing fugitive.
Gigi, what's your gut on this one?
It's crazy enough to be true, but I really don't know. Come on, John, help me out.
News.
Yay!
Okay. Oh, nice.
All right, to the lightning round. Man. Debbie and Kim, here's your headline. Eva Longoria lands directing gig for Flamin' Hot Cheetos biopic.
Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez.
What do you think, Debbie?
Oh, my gosh. Can you reread it again? Because
Eva Longoria lands directing gig for Flamin' Hot Cheetos biopic.
I think that's news.
I know. My gut tells me it's news, too.
All right. There you go.
You got it.
Look at that.
Nancy
right.
and Jen? here's your headline.
No, no, they're
out. No, you're out. Sorry. No chance for you, Nancy. It's Gigi and John.
Don't rub it in.
Not to rub it in. Tourists alerted to mysterious rolling balls of poop in Great Smoky Mountains.
Gigi, I'm going to say ruse. What do you think?
No, it's totally true. Oh, brown balls rolling through the trails.
Overthought it.
It was bear, deer, and raccoon Dookie moving down the trails.
It's a sentence you don't get to say that often.
No, it's written in the article.
Right.
I read that.
Hold on. They're going to clean all this up right on the other side of the glass for you. All right. Don't forget that John Williams is going to be appearing with, well, Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Teddy Roosevelt at the
Blizzard Theater.
Well, hold on. I got to get the sponsor in here, too, because they're paying the good money for it. Joint Relief Institute is bringing you this show at Elgin Community College's Blizzard Theater. Tickets are $35. Go to WGNRadio.com/Teddy. I know I have heard this on the radio. I've never attended one of these. And I am amazed by the ability of Clay to stay in these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing's ad-libbed. It's not rehearsed. It's,
right.
You know, the questions from the audience.
That's the part I love, when he fields the questions.
Me too. And he likes it too. I mean, that I get a little... I hog too much of the time on stage, so I'm going to make a concerted effort to just let him tell a few stories, ask him a few questions.
And
you can ask him about life and history, or then to ask him, what do you think about, Ukraine? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Or the Cubs, whatever. He has an informed opinion about almost everything.
Yeah.
He's really brilliant.
Remarkable.
And I'm not speaking about Clay, although he sure channels Teddy Roosevelt. He was a genius.
Does Teddy care about the Cubs in 1905, or does he care about the Cubs? Because when modern day. You know, 1908 Cubs? What is he really?
I guess you could ask him, what do you think of should the Cubs get rid of Joe Maddon? You could ask him that.
Who the hell's that?
I know. He would say that because he doesn't know. But then he'll probably end up telling you a story about how he got the NCAA formed.
No. Interesting.
He saved football as we know it today. People were dying left and right. He said, maybe we should wear helmets. And he got a collection of colleges to get together and say, okay, how can we save this great American sport? And that became the NCAA. Teddy Roosevelt's the father of the NCAA.
Wow. I had no idea.
So he does a lot of that. You know, like if he can't talk to you about the Blackhawks, he can say, yeah, but did you know? His stories are really fantastic. He's a good storyteller.
Right, because they were talking about in the Ohio State Miami of Ohio game over the weekend, like the last time Miami of Ohio won that game. It was like 1905.
Yeah, he was there.
Right. So, and he was probably there. That is probably true. Oh, by the way, just reminding you, here's what people won today. The winner got a $75 gift certificate from Green Tea Home Services, all your home service needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification system, carpet cleaning service, 805-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com. And everybody walks away with a pair of tickets to Silver Creek's Rockin' Brew Fest Sunday, October 27th, from 3 to 7 Eastern. Enjoy 20 local breweries and live music from Elton John and Tom Petty tribute bands. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Rockin' Brew Fest, October 27th at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo. All right, there you go. All right, John, what do you got on the show tomorrow? Do
you know? Kelly Leonard does a terrific podcast for us.
Uh-huh.
He gets the most amazing people to come on and talk about a variety of topics. He's kind of morphed a bunch of them into sort of one ball, and he wants to tell us about them tomorrow. So Kelly's going to be one of our guests. He's a really terrific speaker and thoughtful guy. And some other stuff.
All right.
I don't remember.
Thank you, John. That's all right. I never do either. I totally understand that problem.
Witness this last segment.
Hey, what?
I didn't say that.
I think John just took a shot.
Did you guys hear that?
WGNRadio.com/Teddy. Bye.